We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Marks and Reese are back, a rainy Thursday. Programming reminder, we are at Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia tomorrow, and then every Friday we switch from being during football season's Monday. And then post-football season, we join you every Friday from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. So we'll talk to people there tomorrow. There, Ikey.
What up there, brother? Thought I had the mic on. My bad.
We'll go back to the phones. We'll get to the phones in a second. So who are the athletes that, Ben, help us out on this. Who are the athletes that are universally loved? Right? Doc, Utley.
You mean Philadelphia athletes?
Yeah, Philadelphia athletes.
Those two at the top, for sure.
Doc and Utley kind of one and two.
Yeah.
But then Doc, just for...
For sure.
Doc is, yeah. is should also be included
yeah.
in that.
Yeah, nobody dislikes Doc.
Moses.
Yeah, I guess.
Brought a championship here. Here's the thing. When you're talking, even in the early 90s with Charles Barkley, things have changed so much with everything, right? I remember I wanted Charles out of here in 1992 for about a half a year until I realized what he still was, and it was the Sixers' fault, not Charles' fault. But
right.
even at the end, Charles was very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Dutch, at the end of his career and then his post-career, everybody seemed to love Dutch. Your former teammate, Brian Westbrook.
Yeah, everybody loves me.
Everybody loves Brian Westbrook,
yeah, everybody
right?
loves me. I don't know why, but they do.
Polarizing. They love him. Hamels, Rollins, Schmidt,
yeah.
Schilling, Donovan. AI, even Nick Foles.
Nicky Six.
Dude, Nick Foles, there were people in this city leading up to the Super Bowl that were saying he sucks, he can't win. The Super Bowl week!
Yeah.
And then he won. And then that kind of... But even after that, I mean, we could take phone calls right now on the Folesers or the Wentzers, including, look at Wade in Chester.
Uh-oh.
Has checked in first time, long time.
My battery's recharged. I'm good.
Last time he was on, it was contentious. All right,
it's always contentious. When is it not?
At Mark's Reese WIP.
He held that for so long.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, but he was an 11 out of 10 for like a month straight. It's awesome. Let's go to Chris and Nathers to start us off. What's up, Chris?
You should have started.
Hey
waiting,
guys,
man.
How are you?
Well, we'll get to him.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
I connected with Carson right away. Especially when I found out the guy was a hunter. Oh, that's just add to it, you know?
Oh, okay.
I connect with athletes in Philadelphia for different reasons. You know, like Utley, I connected with him because he's, you know, he's just one of them grinded out, you know, like Larry Bowa was my favorite Philly.
Mm.
And Lazinski and, you know, Charles Barkley. I'm not a big basketball, but I met Charles Barkley, and after I met him, I became a huge Charles Barkley fan.
He's a good
yeah.
dude.
Oh, yeah. That certainly will happen if you get a chance to meet him.
Let me tell you something else about Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
How I met him was weird. It was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike in a toll booth, right? He was putting the top up. It was going to rain. I get out, and I'm like, I'm walking over to him. I'm like, is this guy going to knock me out or what? And he comes over, and we start talking. We were there for 10 minutes talking.
Yeah.
You know, and I always said to myself after that, I'm like, you know what? Those people that got punched in the face, they deserved it probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, someone comes up and starts talking smack to you.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, an athlete just walks away, or there's some type of an altercation. Charles threw him right through a window.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Listen, Charles is we just saw Charles this past summer. Down in Chickies.
Chickies, yeah.
And every time I see Charles, which is not rare, you know what I mean? So you may see him once
a year.
A year, yep. Or what have you. If that, I'm Charles Barkley knows me by name every time he sees me. What's up, Ike? You still stealing money?
Mm-hmm.
He's just talking about, dude, we got the best jobs in the world.
Yep.
We can say what we want to say. We only have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So And for me to not be some of these other athletes that's played in this town, for Charles to remember my name every time he sees me, man, that's Charles Barkley for you.
Yeah, he listens out there.
That's Charles Barkley
for
you, man.
He spends a good part of the summer here in Philly, and he does.
I wouldn't listen to these shows, but he does.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He does.
Yeah, I went up and introduced myself. He goes, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. He listens. I don't know if he likes me, but he knows who I am. Maybe not. Two questions. Why do you love Carson Wentz, and how do we decide which Philly athletes we like and which ones we don't? Do you care about the personality? Yes, it matters. No, it's just about the play. Hmm. And listen, you could say no, it's just about the play, but there's still guys that when they don't play well, they get the breaks, right?
Yep.
Brian Dawkins, you've heard very few criticisms of him in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Utley, when the team wasn't winning, people weren't attacking Chase Utley. They were going for other guys when the Phillies were losing.
Or if you did, you better wear a bulletproof vest.
Better look out, right?
They're coming for you.
All right, Dre in South Philly. Hi, Dre.
Yes, hey, how y'all doing?
How are you?
What's up, Dre?
First, I want to say I was the one that called a while back and said that Nick Foles reminded me of Matt Geiger. Y'all remember that?
I do.
I owe both of y'all a straight apology, man.
He don't owe us. You owe Nick Foles an apology.
Hold on. Hey, man. Don't ground me up, man. Because you be grounding people up. Don't ground me up, man.
Sometimes.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, I'm just saying. I was wrong on that, man. I was wrong. Even though he missed a couple plays, man. But I was wrong. But what I really called about is about Brett Brown. You know who he remind me of? Andy Reid with time management. And what I mean by that is he don't know how to take the players out and how to put the players in, and then he be using them wrong. You feel what I'm saying? And so when I be looking at Brett Brown sometimes, I said that's Andy Reid, because Andy Reid don't know how to do it the same way, and like he don't know how to call times out, and when he call times out, is at the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean that's what I think about it. You know what I mean? I mean I like Brett Brown. But at the same time, he's using the players wrong. And then you got Markelle Fultz sitting on the bench, laughing, joking, high-fiving, doing the wop, jumping jacks. When he gonna do something?
Never.
I wouldn't expect much from him, Dre. Okay.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Dre.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brett Brown's doing well, man.
I'm a Brett Brown guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you this when you watch those games that you're not being like, man, what?
Oh, I'm waiting on us to blow all leads in the fourth quarter.
What's that substitution?
Yeah.
Why didn't you call a timeout there? Believe me.
No. There was a time last night when Jonah Bowden, TJ McConnell, Corey Brewer, oh, man, who else was out there? Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, that was a process team.
Oh, dude, listen, I got Corey Brewer slipping on the floor. Ball rolls to TJ. He slips on the floor. I'm like, man, what is this lineup out here on the court right now?
Yep.
Brett hurried up and rushed everybody back in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Just when can we take Ben and Joel out at the same time?
What makes
we can't afford to do that?
Yeah, like for instance, Ben Simmons. Right, Ben Simmons is a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he's going to be polarizing because of his game, but he also is very, very bland.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Very, I mean, what is his personality? What do you really know about him? You know Joe's personality. You feel like you get a pretty... TJ McConnell comes off as having a good personality, right? Like, Ben doesn't have a personality. He is very... By the way, I don't know if that's a bad thing as a player. Right? But I mean...
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a good balance for Joel.
For Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you couldn't have two guys with personalities like that.
Even though Joe has the ability to get serious and get mad, I still want someone that's on edge. You know what I mean? I don't mind. That's why I don't mind Jimmy being here, because he's on edge. I don't mind a little bit of that. I think that's good. You need to have that type of tension, that type of focus in your locker room. Joel can loosen everybody up or what have you. But, you know, as Ben grows as a player, especially as a point guard and facilitator on the team, having that type of mindset, he has a laser-like focus mindset, right? Like he seems to have that. You hope that should bode well for him and us moving forward. You know, you just want the rest of his game to come around. But you know, with Ben, he's always going to be a hard player to read, and he's going to be easy to criticize because no one likes to criticize Joel Embiid.
Right.
So Ben will always be the guy that we go to, like,
he's the Donovan to Joel Embiid's T.O.
T.O., yeah.
Really, that's what he is.
And except Joel is going to be here. It's his team.
Yes, it is his team. Well, I mean, I think Ben's going to be here, too. Not like T.O. where, yeah, like 1.5 seasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sure. But the guys that we find polarizing, because you're a Rollins guy. I mean, for the most part, I go down all of these names that we wrote down for polarizing. Hamels, Rollins, Schmidt, Schilling, Donovan, AI, Foles. I was fans of them, and I actually connected with most of those guys, too. AI was a really difficult case because you had people that were diehard. We could ask people right now to call in if you think AI could help the Sixers right now. We get a couple calls of people that still think he can play. Mm-hmm. Like, we had calls years into his retirement when the Sixers need a guard. Well, you know, AI could still lace him up, right? So you had people that were so over the top with AI, and then you had the people that were way down on AI.
Yeah, I mean, AI would make you that way. Because he's obviously going to draw you in with his play. But, man, when you didn't show up to shoot around the morning of, or there's reports that, you know, you're out at 2 or 3 in the morning, like when that stuff happens, even for the most avid AI fans, man, you're like, oh, God, I got to defend this today?
Oh, they didn't care. It was, look what he does when he shows up. He leaves everything on the court.
But isn't the difference what happens when the guys play poorly? Like, we can't really use this litmus test with Embiid because there hasn't really been a stretch with Embiid, at least since he debuted, where he's played really poorly.
Yeah.
To me, it speaks more of how we react when a guy plays poorly.
But the injury. It was the injury factor.
And then what did we do? We're like, he's clowning around. He's not taking things seriously. When Ben plays poorly, we start going, oh, he's hanging out with Kendall Jenner. He's like, oh, he can't shoot. I'm interested. The guys we really love are the ones who we make excuses for and we don't criticize even when they do play poorly.
Even when they play poorly.
When Carson has a bad game, you don't hear people coming on ripping Carson. Maybe one or two.
Uh-huh.
But you don't hear... one of the two.
Listen, I'll tell you about Joel Embiid when he plays bad. He doesn't play perfect every game. He has
turnovers.
Shots he shouldn't take and shooting too many three-pointers or he can't
And he's not in shape and he's out there gassed. He's eating fast food.
The reason why you don't recognize it is because we don't talk about it.
No one's stepping up to do it.
So we're not going to do it. To your point, my only point to you, Ben, was that Joel does have bad games. We just don't necessarily harp on it.
Right, and that's interesting. Like, if Chase had a season in there where he hit, like, 220, I don't think people would have piled on to Chase. I think people would have just quietly not said anything about it.
Yep.
Agreed.
Or made excuses for it.
Even when Doc had quote unquote struggles that one year, you started to hear some stuff.
It wasn't
crazy. Get him out of here type stuff, right? Doc never got that. Football's such a different dynamic with the Brian Westbrook or whatever. But like with Carson's. I don't think he's a polarizing guy at all. To me, he's about as bland as it comes. And by the way, Ike. That's fine with me for a quarterback, right? Like, I don't want my quarterback being out and having model girlfriends and doing this or doing that. That's perfectly fine.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
I like.
You don't want a celebrity quarterback.
I don't.
Right.
I don't.
That's what Bill Parcells used to say.
Yep.
Don't be a celebrity.
Yep. Yeah, and to Tony Romo, he was saying that.
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Yep. That's who he was saying it to.
So what category is Carson in? I would think he's almost universally loved, right? I mean, people are coming up to me at the grocery store being like,
he should be universally loved.
Why do you hate Carson?
Listen, if you want to find out if he's universally loved, let's quit waiting here and just get Wade on the phone.
Wade and Chester. Wade, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
How are you?
What's up, Wade?
Hey.
Yeah.
I got banned. I didn't realize what it was for, but then when I was listening last week and I heard that Ben frequently goes out to dinner with Vince Quinn because I had said something about Vince about him tossing eggs, being a two-time champion in the egg tossing contest. So I figured that's why I got banned.
Who banned you?
Ben.
So, you banned Ben. Wade? I wasn't consulted on that.
We weren't consulted on that, Wade.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
To this point here. All right. Have y'all seen that movie with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz when he tells her, "With me, we here. Without me, we here." I don't know if you've seen that one, but anyway, what he did, he takes his hand. He says, "With me, we here." He puts it over his head. He said, "Without me," he puts it down near his chest. Isn't it ironic that the Eagles are with Carson Wentz? They're at our chest. Without Carson Wentz, you're over your head. I mean, if this guy is as important as we say he is, he's the great Carson Wentz, why do we seem to play better without our best player? Not just one year, but this year as well. And we want to keep saying, oh, now we realize why he played bad was because of the injury. But everybody said if he would have got the ball back in the Dallas game, we would have won that game. So did he have a broken back in the Dallas game, or was he winnable in the Dallas? Because I know the quarterback from Detroit, Matthew Stafford, played with that same injury. So I'm just wondering, you know, it's kind of funny how, and it may just be a coincidence. So next year, when Carson is 100%, which I don't know any quarterback that's ever 100%, but they said in order for him to be good, he's got to be 100%. So, you know, I'm happy to, you know, see him get his reins back, and I'm sad to see Nick go, but I mean, I'm excited to see what's where Nick is going to go to and see how he plays.
Me too.
His own show.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I think we all are. I think anybody is. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't anybody be happy for Nick Foles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Foles didn't do anything to anybody.
It's a good story locally for us to follow. It's a great story nationally because you're talking about the backup quarterback that's Super Bowl MVP, and he came back in and he helped the Eagles get back to the playoffs the year after. It's a great story.
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, everybody loves a great story, right? Whether it's sports, whether it's life, and Nick Foles is a great story. Nick Foles was very polarizing for a long time in this town. Ike, from early, is he a franchise quarterback? Is he not a franchise quarterback? Is he good enough to be the guy long-term here? Is he not? Chip comes in, trades him away. He comes back in. People are waving the white flag. Well, I can't win the playoffs. What's the point? They can't even win a playoff game with Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Wins the Super Bowl.
You know?
I mean, it's been nonstop discussion with Nick.
Yeah.
Over the years. Who's a guy that you definitely didn't like because of the personality? Right, like you make no qualms about that. It was like,
Oh, yeah, anybody from that dream team, you know, all those guys, the Babbins,
a great one.
DRC, all those guys. I didn't like any of those guys. I can't even remember half of them that came through.
Vince Young.
That year. I didn't really have a personal problem with Vince Young.
Hokum Horns.
Yeah, you know, Vince Young.
There was an imposter of Vince Young going around.
Yeah. He looked like him, too.
He looked like him, too. He was doing the hook 'em horns.
Yeah. Sam Bradford, I didn't like. DeMarco Murray, I didn't like.
Like, for instance, Sam Bradford probably is a nice enough fella, right? But I hated him. I just looked at him and I hated him.
Yeah, I didn't like Sam Bradford.
I don't know if he gave us a reason not to like him other than his play, other than his demeanor,
that's
right?
That's all I needed.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah.
Me,
all
too.
All I needed was his play. That was enough for me.
But his personality was part of it, too.
Yeah, but if he had won and played well, I'd have been able to overlook his personality. Listen, nobody's jumping for joy about Nick Foles' personality. I mean,
I love it. You
accept Nick Foles' personality because he's won the Super Bowl, and Nick has become a different person since he won the Super Bowl. Like, we don't even recognize that part of Nick. When Nick is up there at a press conference and he's speaking at their game, Nick didn't speak like that prior to winning the Super Bowl. A lot of short answers. A lot of straight to the point. Like, this year, when Nick got in front of a podium
after
a game, Nick had a whole lot more to say. He had messages he was given. That's what people don't realize. Nick, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just telling you, he used his platform for messages that he wanted out there.
Mm-hmm.
That he wanted out there. It was less about X's and O's, team.
Yep.
Camaraderie,
yeah,
love for one another.
You're right.
Caring about each other. When I go home, you know what? I'm going to kiss my wife and my newborn baby.
Never the baby with the headphones on the field. It's crumble.
Well, just remember him after the Tampa game when it was reported that could be his last game and Carson was going to come back the next week. Like, Nick handled all that stuff with grace.
Yeah,
that's just Nick. He handled it from a humble standpoint.
Ready athlete that we hated, and it was only because of his personality. I know you. What you thought about this guy?
Who was that?
Pap.
Oh man, come on, Pap or Poopy?
Right.
Yeah.
Pap. That's a straight personality hate.
I didn't like anything about Jonathan Papelbon.
We don't realize he was actually pretty. He was actually really good when he was here.
Yeah, we couldn't because the team wasn't really.
Well, that's true. We hated him.
Yeah.
He was pretty much universally hated.
Well, some people liked him here. I don't know. I know I didn't.
But for the most part.
Yeah.
Jeff in Jersey. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Ike, it's always a pleasure. John, I think it's our first time speaking. So,
thank you, Jeff. What up, Jeff?
Thank you, thank you.
Hey, so I think why we love Carson so much and why we love the athletes that have been beloved kind of go hand in hand. They treat their brothers on the field like brothers. Their teammates are brothers. They stand up for them. Look at Joel. Joel stands up for his guys. I don't know if I could say the same thing about Ben. Ben seems to be in it for Ben. But the other thing is that me personally, I think Ben's putting together his highlight reel to get out of town, but that's a whole other story. Mm. But look at B-Dawg. Look at Westbrook. Look at yourself, Ike. Guys, that Carson's very similar to you guys to where he will sacrifice his body on the field just to get that yard.
Yeah.
He will fight for his brothers. I mean, look at that Carolina Panthers game. He went straight for that linebacker. I mean, I kind of cringed when he did it, but I understood why he did it. You know what I mean?
So on-field style of Carson Wentz, you think, makes a lot of people say, yeah, man, like, that's what you want. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, and to rebut Wade a little bit, yeah, if we got the ball back in that Cowboys game, he would have threw a touchdown. It's the same reason he threw a touchdown in that Rams game with torn ligaments. Mm. He's in there sacrificing to himself, doing what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm. A lot of perception going on with you here, Jeff, I think. Right.
Yeah, look,
not just with Carson, I think with everybody, but that's what we all do, right? Because we don't really know these people. It's just what we perceive them to be, and then we turn them into like a Chase Utley. Other than saying he hustles and he doesn't ever talk say bad things about people or whatever. I mean, we love Chase Utley, but how much do we really know about Chase Utley?
Nothing. I mean, and some guys like it that way. Like, some guys want their private life to be their private life. They don't want to give you a whole lot about their private life. I mean,
it's just his personality. He's just not a...
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Some guys are private that way. The guys, believe me, the guys that don't talk to the media, it's the reason why they really don't want to talk to the media.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be vulnerable. And you know what I mean? Like, so, and then there are the guys that the only time they do talk to the media is strictly about the X's and O's, whether it's practice or whether it's the game. Don't ask me about anything else. You know, I'm not interested in talking about anything else. Mm-hmm. You want to talk football? Let's talk football.
Who are the guys in between loved and polarizing, right? Ben, you can help out on this one. I feel like that Ryan Howard, he wasn't loved to where everybody had excuses for him. You had your Ryan Howard guys, but there was a pocket in there when his play really declined that people were just, they were done on him. And I think that was really performance related. Pat Burrell was loved, and kind of when he struggled, people were down on him. But he, like, right now, after their careers, I think everybody loves Ryan Howard. Everybody loves Pat Burrell. If Pat Burrell's coming in town, people are going to give him huge ovations down at the stadium, right? Down at Citizens Bank Park.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan coming back, Donovan still brings up debates when you bring up his name. It's pretty amazing. Jimmy Rollins you'll have debates on him.
Yeah.
Let's go to Robert, Washington Township, New Jersey. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Ike, Johnny Hash. What's up, Bella?
What's up, brother?
What up, Robert?
How are you?
Hey, I was watching that game last night, the Sixer game, too. I was happy because I thought they were going to lose at the end. They were down by 5 or 6 and came up with some strong defense. But you commented earlier on something. I just want to get your feelings. Do you feel like it's a positive having Markelle Fultz sitting on the bench doing the clowning thing? You know, I mean, a lot of, you know, we're polarized with Markelle Fultz, right? Because some people want to see him achieve, other people don't. But when he's not playing and he's kind of goofing and acting silly and all that kind of stuff, it kind of bothers me a little bit, and I just wondered how you guys felt about that when you see that. Should they allow him to be sitting on the bench and doing those kind of things?
You know what, Robert? I guess you don't want to shun him, right? You want him to be, or he's still a Sixer.
Do you have to allow him to do it?
I guess, right? Does he have an issue with the NBA Players Union?
I don't think unless you suspend him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It becomes more of an issue if you tell him he can't be on the bench and he wants to be on the bench.
And then the agent's going to say the Sixers aren't letting him on the bench.
So it becomes an issue. But Robert's right. Anytime that camera pans over there and you see him over there, you're reminded that he's not playing for the Sixers.
Right.
And he's not the pick that everybody hoped he would be. And nope. you gave up another first rounder, the Sacramento pick, to get him here. Like,
and he's goofy.
Yes. And you're over there smiling. And it's like, so from fans, yeah. I don't know who can see him over there and not have some sort of negative feelings evoked inside you. Right, I know. First time I see him over there, I'm like, "Oh, the hell, Markel's on the bench again!"
Mm-hmm.
And don't let him be losing the game, because then I'm gonna think he's over there distracting the players.
Yep. I don't know if anybody's really paying attention to him.
Well, you try not to, but there are times the camera pans on the bench and he's over there.
Well, I mean, I like paying attention to it, but is Ben and Joel, are they paying attention to what he's doing when they're on the bench? I mean, these guys are
he's there to high-five him.
Yeah.
I mean, if they sit next to him, he's going to speak to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody on the team is leering down at him, being like, I wish, get him out of here. Like, guys are talking, what's he doing there? I think the guys understand where he is and what's happened and the fact that he's probably struggling mentally and stuff like
care.
That.
Players don't care. They're trying to be good teammates to him.
Right.
And be a friend to him. You know what I mean? Like,
he's not a bad guy.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Hate.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't hate the guy. His fans that hate him. The players don't hate him.
So here's a good question. Here's a good way to bring this up about, do we care about the personality? Because a lot of people will say yes. A lot of people say no. But what's the difference between Donovan and Carson Wentz, right? Donovan,
obvious.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Donovan is. Well, I wonder if that's part of it. Donovan is not universally loved. You have five guys, mm-hmm. and you have non-five guys.
Right.
I mean, and we're talking about how many years has it been since he's even played in the NFL, and we can still debate him right now. I would think he's not universally loved, but Ben, what would you say? Most Eagles fans
I would say if you were to do approval ratings on the two quarterbacks, taking out the fact that the Nick Foles thing came up, I would say overall with Carson, it's probably about 98%, and Donovan, it's like 60, maybe.
Why,
see,
yeah, why is that?
Significant difference.
See, I know we want to do it that way, but when you say take out the Nick Foles factor in it, you can't. Because that's the only reason people are looking down on Carson.
That's why it's 98, not 100.
So if you say Carson without Nick Foles would be 100%.
Yes.
Because if Donovan had Nick Foles, Donovan would be like a 1%.
Right.
Yeah, like Carson's not universally loved like a Dak or an Utley or even an Embiid. But, most part.
I think he was until Nick won the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
But why is it?
Oh, no, he was.
Why is it that we look at Carson and we go, he's my quarterback, he's our guy,
I love him.
Second overall pick, I connect with him. And Donovan, who played his heart out, who played through injury, who hasn't accomplished any less, in fact, much more than Carson has accomplished
for us. You know why,
but
Ben?
What is the difference? I seriously don't understand. Please tell me.
I'm wondering if people think that Donovan wasn't a Philly guy and Carson...
Philly guy.
Right. If we didn't say that, people would call it and say he's more of a Philly guy.
Philly guy. Right.
888-729-9494. So think of it from that. We started the show. Someone came up to me today at the grocery store and was like, man, you really don't like Carson. And I thought about it and I was like, but you know what it is? Like, I just don't connect with Carson really at all. Like, football wise, sure. But with the other stuff, it's just kind of like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Donovan. I can tell you, I connected more with Donovan, right? Yeah. I did. Like that, I watched him play in college. I was a fan of him in college. You knew the whole football stuff. The basketball stuff. I wanted him here, and he got booed. And I was on the side of people that wanted him here and didn't want to draft Ricky Williams. So I was invested in Donovan. I think more than. And then I kind of turned on Donovan later after he'd been here for a long time.
Well, I think that's really when. Most people did. It was after years of disappointment.
And more of the personality
right.
that people got rubbed the wrong way.
Right.
And 888-729-9494.
Whereas Carson is just a victim of someone else's success. I mean, let's keep it real. He's a victim of Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl.
Is that it?
Yeah, because I keep telling you, Carson hasn't done anything to anybody. He hasn't bad-mouthed a teammate, doesn't throw coaches under the bus. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't shirk responsibility. He's accountable. Like, all the guy did was bust his butt to get back on the field and play through injury and try to help you win football games. But because he's not the guy who won the Super Bowl, He's a victim of Nick Foles' success. That's the only... His crime was getting injured.
Yeah.
That was his crime.
Everybody, almost everybody loved Carson, but Donovan had... from Jump Street, was polarizing and people were debating Donovan, yeah. yes or no.
Five!
Why? 888-729-9494.
I'm still talking about five today.
It's great. I love it. As long as you don't go to the well too often, but when it comes up organically, it's fun to get the reaction. For me, at least. 888-729-9494.
He's torturing me over here.
No, but you
the last time, we did Donovan, right, we were in Atlantic City. We're in Atlantic City at the
I had Hard Rock. I had Nick number one on my list.
Yeah, dude. I was drained leaving there.
I know you were.
On the way home, I was like, oh Lord, I need to be resuscitated, man.
So
defending Donovan.
What would be the ultimate grit my teeth for Ike Reese? The Zach Ertz is over targeted with Carson Wentz. Any kind of Donovan talk, right? Yesterday, I looked over and the guy's saying about, hey, over target, he throws the Zach Ertz every time. And Ike's just like, oh my God, I can't take this anymore. Right? It's funny. 8887.
I'm glad I amused you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
At this point, anytime we break into that, I can't have a serious discussion about it anymore. I can't. I can only try to have fun with it. 888-729-9494. But with this, what is it that makes you like a player or doesn't like a player? Ike doesn't necessarily care about a player's personality.
No.
But a lot of people do. And the best example is everybody loves Carson, but people didn't necessarily like Donovan McNabb.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.